Let's go into the world this morning. Let us agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you've so richly given unto us. Upon your resurrection, our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this morning that there is clarity as the truth of God's word is taught. Truth of God's word is taught with accuracy, with precision. There is no confusion. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word. And at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Let's go back to our conversational 2 Timothy, right? We have been trying to investigate salvation. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. We have been trying to investigate the topic salvation. Salvation. We're still here for a while, okay? Look at 2 Timothy 3, verse 15. It says, "And that from a child, thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto what? Salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." Let's read verse 16, everybody together. 1, 2, 3, go. "And it's profitable for doctrine, for instruction in righteousness." Verse 17, 1, 2, 3, go. "Thoroughly furnished unto every good work." Hallelujah. Right? So he says, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." So, what is the theme of scriptures? What is the theme of scriptures? Salvation. So it means that salvation is God's will, and it's something that has been carefully written all across scriptures. So how do you know you've read the Bible very well? When you see God's saving plan. Are we here? How do you know you've read scriptures very well? When you see God's saving plan. How do you know you've read the Bible very well? When you see God's saving plan. So in the real sense, a good way to know that you've done justice to the interpretation of scriptures is what? By seeing God's will, which is God's saving plan. Before you continue, look at 1 Timothy. Look at 1 Timothy 2. 1 Timothy 2 verse 1. "I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayer, intercession, giving of thanks be made for all men." Let's read verse 2 together. 1, 2, 3, go. "For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty." Look at verse 3. 1, 2, 3, go. "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior." Verse 4. "And to come unto the knowledge of the truth." So what is God's will for man? All men to be saved. What is God's will for man? All men to be saved. Yeah? So God's will for man is that all men are saved and come to the knowledge of truth. So when it now tells you that prayer, supplication should be made for kings and people in authority, what is the prayer in regards to? Their what? Salvation. Are we together? Yeah. So Timothy wasn't teaching in 1 Timothy Paul wasn't teaching in 1 Timothy that Timothy should take out time to pray for people who are in power so that they can just be leading everybody aright without them being saved. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 1 to 4. Right? So Paul was not telling Timothy, "You know what, brother Timothy? Yeah, just pray, you know what, when you are just pray for those in power. Yeah, and just pray for them so that they will just lead them." No. Yeah, the prayer that Paul instructs that Timothy should pray is that it will be in regards to salvation. Right? He tells in verse 3, "For this is God's will, who will have all men saved and come to the knowledge of the truth." Are we together? So, how do you know you've prayed well for a man in power? Not when you say, "I pray that he receives wisdom to lead the people." Yeah? Okay, let me say this way. How do you know you've prayed epistically well for a man in power? When you pray for his growth in knowledge, if he's a believer, or for him to become a believer. Are we here? So it says, "This is the will of God, who will have all men to be saved." God's will for every man on earth is to save, right? So, and God's will, 2 Timothy tells you, it says, "For all scriptures are given by inspiration of God, they are profitable, yeah, advantageous for teaching." Now, at the point when Paul wrote that letter to Timothy, there was no book of Timothy, there was no book of Romans. Right? So when it says all scriptures, it will be strictly Genesis to what? Malachi. So it means that when you read Genesis to Malachi, you will see God's salvation plan, which is his will, that all men be saved. So it means that if you see a scripture that shows you that God killed, it means that you need to look again very well, because you would have asked yourself, God's will is for everyone to be saved. But in real sense, you must holistically read the Bible to see God's saving plan as his plan from time. Now, God is not a dual being or a dual-sided being or one who has a mood swing. Yeah, so God was before, he was very, 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 very angry. Yeah, the God of the Old Testament was angry. If you do ah, you do ooh. If you do boo, you do ah. You know, but in the real sense, then now Jesus has come. Jesus has come to pacify his heart. Yeah, but even though Jesus has pacified his heart, sometimes God will just see the wickedness on earth and just say, Kai, let me just think about it. Everybody will be destroyed. Jesus will say, oh, Father in heaven. Oh, dear Lord, Father, Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, Father of glory. Yeah, that's Jesus to God. Are we together? Now says, you see, even if you forget anything in this earth, on this life, don't forget my blood. My blood is crying. I've paid the sacrifice for their sin. Don't destroy them again. So really, yeah, so Jesus is actually the revelation of God to mankind. So if you have questions about God, look at Jesus. Isaiah 9:6, unto us a child is born, and the son is what? Given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be what? Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. Yeah, so the son that is given is the Mighty God. Now tells us something further. It says, the Everlasting Father, John 14. You know, Philip asks Jesus, show us the Father, and we'll be okay with that. What did Jesus say? You've been with me so long, and you don't know me, Philip. Who did Philip ask? Show us the Father. What did Jesus say? In seeing me, you've seen the Father. Are we together? So Jesus is not a junior God of junior version of God. Yeah, Jesus is not the soft-hearted version of God. So Jesus did not come to reveal to mankind that there is still goodness in God. You know that's a doctrine on the people, a lot of people's hearts, that Jesus came to reveal that God's still good. Mind you, say that God is still good, you're trying to insinuate that generally, overallly, or on the overall level, he is terrible, but there's still that goodness. You know, no matter how terrible your father treated you, your father is still good. You don't know. No matter how you know, some of you, when you're growing up, how many of you got to that point in your life where your parents disciplined you? You say, I'll pack my load and leave this house. I'll pack my load. I'm not here again. But how can they be treating me like this? Me? And you stay there till they marry you. Even after they marry you, you're still squatting there till they bought house for you. I mean, they rented house for you. All together. So, despite what your father does to you, your father still has a sense of goodness, one way or the other. At least he still keeps you under his roof. All together. At least he still feeds you. At least it doesn't warm stone for you to eat. Right? So by the time you approach that mind, use that mindset to approach God, you think that God is a terrible God, but there is still goodness in him. So God now sends Jesus. Jesus, go and show them that side of me. But there's the other side. If you try me, consuming fire. If you try me, I will try you. I was together, but you know, Bible knowledge entails that we take out time to study God's character for who he is, because a man cannot successfully live above the understanding of his creator. So if you think your father, which is God, actually kills and does good sometimes, you will be that way towards other men. Yeah, that's why Jesus will tell you in Matthew 5, says, be ye perfect as your heavenly father is. He allows rain on the good and the evil. He allows his son on the just and the unjust. That's what perfect love really means. Yeah, perfect love is not selective. Do you understand that? Yeah, perfect love to mankind. So let me say it better. Like I would say, God doesn't love a Christian more than a Muslim. Are we together? Yeah, God doesn't love a Christian more than a Muslim. God loves the world. He sent his son to reveal himself to the world. Yeah, difference between you as a Christian and one who is not a Christian is because you have received his love and the other person has not received his love. But the love is constant to both you and the person who hasn't received it. Are we together? So it means that when it comes to doctrine, in the real sense, yeah, God will not kill you to make you happy. Did you get that? God will not kill him for her. Did you get that? God will not kill you for him. You are too small to hold that level of influence on God's heart. I know when I say that, that's a level of influence of carnality. Do you understand? You are too small for God to kill him for you. Nigeria is too small for God to destroy Boko Haram for Nigeria. You relate to that one better, right? What God wants for Boko Haram and the leader, 1 Timothy, we just read that, that all men be saved, all, say all. All men be saved and come to knowledge of truth. Are we together? You know, let me say this one more time. You know, a man who is a believer might lose his life while practicing the love walk. Are we here? Are we here? A believer can possibly lose his life while practicing love walk. But you should be thankful that you have eternal life. Are we together? Are we together? You can successfully practice love walk to a point where you actually lose your life. Okay, think about it. What was Jesus practicing when he lost his life? Eh? What was Jesus practicing when he lost his life? It is love walk now. Is it not love walk? What did he say to those who killed him? Forgive them for they know people that killed him. What is that? Is that not love walk? What did Peter now tell you about God's love walk? He suffered to leave for you an example that you must what? Follow his steps. Are we together? You know, to an average, the way we look at life today, some of us think that Jesus did not live a fulfilled life. You know, if we believe that doctrine of let me ask us. How many of you believe this doctrine that you know people always say things like when your time is not up, your time is not up. Why are you laughing, Sister Rose? How many of you believe that doctrine? That if your time is not up, no matter the accident you have, it cannot be up. How do you know their time? Abi, that's the question. You know, some of us believe that God has put in your account a number of years you must live. And if you are not 50, either you have accident, the leg will go, but you'll be alive. The hand will go, you'll be alive. Even if it's your eye, until you get to that number, nothing can take you. Oh, hey. Why do you reduce your speed when you are driving on express? Why do you cross the road and look left and right? Eh? If you know your time is 8:70, you are still 20. You are crossing a road. You are looking left and right. No, just go. No matter what happens, it's not your time. It's not your time. Yeah. So the life that God uses to satisfy man is what you call eternal life. That's what you see in Psalm 91. With long life will I what? Satisfy you. And do what? Show thee my salvation. Simple. So the long life of Psalm 91 is salvation life. Are we together? It's not the confession for every day. Praise God. Yeah, because in the same Bible, you have people who live for 969 years. You have people who live for 700 years. Who now determines what long life is? Who puts the range? We have people who died less than 20 in the Bible. Is that not true? So who puts the range for long life? So the long life that God satisfies a believer with is actually what the verse tells you, shows you my salvation. Look at 1 Timothy 4. Quickly, let me show you something there. 1 Timothy 4 verse 1. 1 Timothy 4 verse 1. So you're supposed to be there already because it's just two books, two chapters after, right? Are we in church this morning? Okay, look at verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to what? Seducing spirits. Doctrines of what? Devils. You know why we're growing up? How many of you grew up in my environment where I grew up? What is my environment? You know, in my environment while growing up, seducing spirits are women who wear short skirts. Yeah? But seducing spirit, as taught by Paul, is in that verse, the word there and. That is, I mean. So the seducing spirit Paul teaches is actually the teaching of the devils. Look at it. So look at it again. Verse 1. Departing from the faith, giving heed to what? Seducing spirits, that is what? Doctrines of what? Devils. What does that actually mean? Again, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Hallelujah. So, when you see a man teaching that which is different from what Jesus and the apostles taught, that is seducing spirit in operation.
So, in the real sense, seducing spirit is about the doctrine and what is taught. Hallelujah. So, it says speaking lies in hypocrisy. Speaking lies in hypocrisy. So, a very easy way to know when someone is teaching from the Bible and lying is by knowing the Bible. Are we together? Yeah, the only way you know, for instance, if I go to an interview with you and they ask what's my date of birth, I say 1922, January 15. The only reason you know I'm lying is because you had a prior knowledge to my age. So the only reason you know when someone is speaking, can we use the Bible to lie? Can you use the Bible to lie? I'm not even talking about the one that people will touch and say, that's a lie, touch it and put it on their head. And I'm not talking about that one. Can you confidently look at a verse of the Bible and lie to the people? You can. Okay, let me give you an example. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things. The Bible says. What the Bible says, I am who it says I am. I can do all things through Christ. That's what I mean. My brother, look at your neighbor and say, You can. Look at your neighbor. You can. Tell us that you can. You can do what? You can do all things. Say, I can. I can do all things. Is that not a lie? Is it not a lie? Can you do all things? No. Ordinary 2-hour service, you are sleeping. Let me give you another example. Let's use another example. Let's even leave that. You know, it takes a level of insincerity to make I can do all things your confession. It means you've shared your heart so well that they've lied to you so well that the unrealistic has become your realistic. I call it faith. Disappear to Canada now. You know, if actually you can do all things, we Christians will bastardize that ability. They born your father's as you're not happy. What do you do? Disappear to UK. You go to UK, no job. What do you do? Go to Malaysia. You try Malaysia. Like, they're not giving you papers. What do you do? Some of you, if you can do all things, you disappear back to say, God, I'm not doing earth again. I'm back to heaven. I'm tired. So really, you can't do all things. Give me another example of scripture we can use to lie again. All things are mine. Yes, you know, Bible to Paul was teaching in 1 Corinthians. Bible says that all things are mine. Right? Look at neighbor and say, all things are mine. For you to say that, your heart... You have to believe yours. For you to get to that conclusion that all things are yours, they've lied to you so well that they've made the lie look like a reality. How can my phone be your phone? I was like, Abby, eye has not seen. The Bible says all things are yours. Say yes. My confession, as you go out this week, just say all things are yours. You are just boboing yourself. Let me say this way, you are boboing your emotions. Let me say this way, you are pampering your ignorance. It takes a believer to just step back and look at reality and actually look at what you make your confession. Altogether, what eye has not seen. We saw that on Wednesday, right? Briefly. What eye has not seen, what ears have not seen too. What ears have not seen, what eye have not heard. God will do it. Sister Rose, next year. Yeah, what eye has not seen, what ears have not heard. Yeah, I see you expecting a house. Please, who is in Nigeria that's not expecting a house? Who doesn't want to move to the house? Oh, God, I'm not saying. Make 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9, your confession. Right? Yes, make it yours. It is yours. What eye has not seen. Even if it's a car, the man that manufactured it still saw it. The man that manufactured it, he did the prototype. He saw it. He did the real one. They tested it. Which has not seen it? Are we together? Do you see, is it house? It's not I. They used to build the bricks. It's just word of mouth. And the Bible did not say what mouth has not said. Are we together? So you can use. So when you say lies, so where is the greatest place you have seducing spirit according to Paul? Here. It's the greatest place on earth you have seducing spirit. Are we here? The best place to find seducing spirit is on the lips of a pastor who teaches the doctrines of devils, who teaches speaking lies in hypocrisy. Now, there are people who don't know that what they are saying is a lie. And there are people who just receive... and this is where the Christian faith, actually, we have a problem. You see, don't receive what I'm teaching because you trust me. Are we here? Don't receive what I'm teaching because you trust me. Receive what I'm teaching because it's the word of God. And the only way you get to that phrase is when you listen to what I tell you and you go and reinvestigate to be sure as to what has been said and what you heard. Because what will happen is that we will be people who are shifting from the conventional doctrine that is taught all around the churches, for instance, and we'll just be saying our own doctrine because it is different. At the end of the day, that is why I believe strongly in the fact that a believer must be a thinker. Are we together? Yeah? A believer. If a lot of us had sat down to think about what we were told 20 years ago, 10 years ago, we're not where we are today. Is that not true? Because sometimes you just look back and like, why should somebody tell me that I will drop 1,000 naira and I will be rich by next week? Your father spent money to take you to school. In the school you went to, they did free course GST economics. You wrote tests, you wrote exam. You did assignments, you did projects. Someone still told you that there's a practice of giving money to get more money, and you bought it. Will your father be proud of you? You know, it becomes more interesting when it's your father that taught you doctrine. Are we together? Why are we taking our time to learn this thing, which you should give yourself to unlearn these things? Because in the truth is that your children, I can assure you, the questions they will ask you, except you don't take them to school to meet with other people, except you don't take your kids to school, bring them private lessons there for the rest of their life. How about you now give them a certificate? They'll send it to your house. Except if not, if you allow them to, not if you, since you will allow them, Abby, to meet with other people, they will ask you dangerous questions. Not the question of this basic one we're just doing. Dangerous, intelligent questions. The worst is their own children. Oh, glory to God. Why? Because there's so much knowledge rampant everywhere. And information travels as fast or faster than you can think. Are we together? So as one who is not a father yet or as one who is a new father, make sure you pay attention to sound doctrine. Else, you will be a seducing spirit to your children. Are we together? Now, this doesn't take away the fact that there are people who speak these things out of their innocence. There are people who actually lie in innocence. Is that true? And it's just because they listen to someone who they are claimed to be a world best teacher. Let me make this correction. You know, somebody did a post on me recently. I said I'm the world's best pastor. Don't do that. Don't do that. Someone did a post on me. I don't know if any of you saw it, but I think she took it down immediately. Don't call me the world's best pastor. Don't kill me before my time. I'm closer to my mother's womb than how many years I'll still live. I'm the world's best. No, now. It's a wrong practice to have best pastors. You don't see it in the epistles. No matter how much you want to say, speak well of your pastors to the degree in which it is sincere. You can only have best pastors if you've witnessed 500 pastors and you say, this is the best. So we can't afford to use the carnal approach in weighing things of the world to weigh the things of the spirit. Don't call me best pastor. I'm not. There's no best pastor. Are we together? So that's a mild correction, right? You can leave those conversations for carnal best wife. Well, best wife says is even where you married Sebra before. you now compare, this is the best out of all men. No, I just say, I even cannot conversation. You are a beautiful wife. Just leave it there. Are we together? So, we have seducing spirit, and like I said, a lot of us listen, digest, and pour out without reasoning. What tells you? Okay, let me show you something, 2 Timothy again. Why are we in Timothy this morning? That's not a question for you to answer. Look at 2 Timothy 4. Are we there? I want all of us to read that together. 1, 2, 3, go. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Chapter 4, 2 Timothy 4. 2 Timothy 4. Are we there? Verse 1. 1, 2, 3, go. I charge thee therefore before God
And the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearance?
Verse 2. So, the charge is charging in verse 1 is for what? For you to do verse 2, right? So, I charge you to what? Verse 2. Preach the word. Continue. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, exhort with long suffering. And what? What does it mean to preach the word and be instant in season and out of season? When they don't want to hear it, say it. When they want to hear it, say it. You know, you will not always enjoy sound doctrine. You know, sound doctrine can make a mess of your thinking or of your person. Sound doctrine can make you feel like a foolish person. Wait, am I the only one that sound doctrine has made me feel foolish? Okay. Am I the only person that sound doctrine has made me feel foolish? Or is it only me?
Sorry.
See what it says. You will not always enjoy sound doctrine. Yeah? You will not always enjoy what is taught. But look at what it says in verse 3. Let's read verse 3 together. 1, 2, 3, go. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust, they shall heap to themselves teachers having... So from that verse, what should sound doctrine... What should we do with sound doctrine? Enjoy or endure? Do we enjoy sound doctrine? Will you always enjoy sound doctrine? Eh? You know, I was telling you of someone who came to listen to me for over 2 hours. And the only thing you could take is that my jokes are funny. I felt less of a pastor that day. Eh? Tim Paul say endure sound doctrine. Somebody came to a whole service. You enjoyed my jokes. You don't know what that did to me. You enjoyed my jokes. I've turned to a cappella. MC Galaxy. Paul tells you, a time will come when they will not what? Endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, they shall what? Heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. What does that mean? It means that, is that what is happening in our day and time today, for instance? People rather live where they are saying the Greek word is that, the Hebrew word is that, actually the grammatical analysis is this. The pastor, you are too academical. The letter kill it, pastor. That is the spirit. The pastor, there's the rhema. I remember when I started coming into the truth of God's word, and which I'm still coming into, and I was among those very dramatic listeners. When you see, it's not difficult to know a crowd of people who are listening or not. It's not difficult to know. When you see a crowd that is quiet when certain things are said, you know there actually is entering a lot of them. Some people can be quiet and it's because of the beans after church they are thinking about. But when you see a place, oh, go, pastor, go, Rema. Oh, I caught the. Did you catch that Rema? Rema, you catch Rema. Did you catch the Rema? Did the Rema permeate with your soul? I went for a meeting one day and I was just writing, taking notes, and one lady was just jumping. Yes, pastor, tell them. Pastor, you took it out of my lips. You have lips. You took it out of my lips. You took what? I've been saying this thing, pastor. Pastor, you hit the nail on the head. I allowed her to finish jamborating. Say that, please. I didn't get what the pastor said. I didn't add because you were loud. For somebody slapped me before. I expect me to walk in love. I didn't hear what the pastor said. Please, what did the pastor say? She could not say a word of what was said. You know, if she had written that thing, that what did the pastor say? She would go back and say, oh, he said this. You see, it doesn't mean that everything I say, you will get it and actually be able to repeat it in that service. Yeah. But that's why you write down. So when you get back home, you revisit it and see it. It's part of endurance. Are we together? It's part of endurance. You will endure. See, you will write that your hand will pain in you. It's part of the enduring. Why? Because you know that a lot of lives will count on yours. You will pray till your bones are off. You will pray You will have kata and be preaching God's word. You will have kata and still go out for evangelism. You will have running nose, block nose, put face mask, and you still go out. Why? Because it's something that needs to be endured. You don't do it at the comfort or at your comfort level. Are we together? Paul tells Timothy, he says, the time will come, they will have itching ears. That's why a lot of us, so it's because of the itching ears of the people that pushes with pastor to do very interesting meetings. Are we together? Is it not true? Let me tell you, what does it take to get the crowd right now? Let's list it. Number one. Did you say Dunsin? He said not Dunsin. Let me know how to call on you. Number one. Suya Knight. So he's speaking for his category. So there are thousands of Brashegu on the soil of Abuja, and to get them is with meat. Number two, relationship what? Relationship seminar. Number three, healing service. No, healing service, they will still come, take your healing and go back. Drama, consistent music, frivolities, music, sound. And now, in mixing all of them together, let's not. I love good sound. It's good to have good sound. It's good to preach where you're not hearing. You're hearing it, so it's good to actually. Oh, you're not hearing it. Okay. So it's good to actually preach where everywhere is somewhere. AC, everything is shining. It's good to have good music. But if you have all of that, you don't sing sound doctrine. You just. I need to ask a question, but let me not ask you to cause a lot of trouble. Right? Now, do you suppose that the church should subpedal what the standard of the apostles should be because of the itching ears of the people? Is that biblical? What did Paul tell you about it? You enjoy it. You know what enduring means? Enduring entails that you can be pastoring a church for 5 years and your number will not grow plus one person. Not because you're not going for outreach, not because you're not praying, but because you're enduring. Because you're not doing what the crowd wants you to do to get them to come. Are we together? So, now, let's go back to what we're trying to teach today. Now, Paul tells you, he says, endure sound doctrine. Now, says in verse... look at verse 4. Let's read verse 4 together. 1, 2, 3, go. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto what? Fables. Can we say fables are high-sounding nonsense? Colossians 2, 8, NLT, right? Look at verse 5. 1, 2, 3, go. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and make proof of thy ministry. Are we together? So now, sound doctrine is something that is to be what? Endure. Say, I will endure sound doctrine. Let's say it together. I want to say, I will endure sound doctrine. See, that is an instruction in the scriptures, and I will obey the scriptures. Yeah? So sound doctrine is to be endured. So what that means is that we will do lots of repetition. Amen? We need to endure it. Are we together? We do lots of repetition. We do lots of emphasis. You need to endure it. Praise God. So don't get tired of repetition. When God's word is taught, Pastor, you're always saying the same thing every Sunday. What did Paul tell you? As long as it is what? Sound doctrine. You do what? So we've been attention to a few things in the writings of the prophets and Moses. And we started investigating Sodom and Gomorrah, right? Has that been enlightening? Has that been enlightening? Have you learned something from that? But we've not touched it yet, right? Okay, so look at Lamentations 3. Lamentations 3. Lamentations 3.
Are we in Lamentations 3? Are we in Lamentations 3? Are we there? Look at verse 22. 1, 2, 3, go. GP. I just told you about enduring, no? People are trying to enjoy now. Are we all there? Lamentations 3, 22. 1, 2, 3, go. That we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. Right? 1, 2, 3, go. 23. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Now, we've tried to establish over and over that when we say the compassion of God fails not, they are new every morning, he's not saying that God's compassion level as the evening approaches, it comes down. Then the next morning, what happens? It now rises up. No. It is that every new day on earth is a reminder to mankind of God's mercy, of God's compassion. Are we together? So, it is of the Lord's mercy we are not consumed because his compassion, what? Fails not. So, it means that when you see evil happen, it is not because God's compassion failed. Did you get that? You said that over and over. When evil... Now, let me ask you a question. Does evil happen? Do good people experience evil? Do good people experience terrible things? Are we here? Do bad people experience good things? Do bad people experience bad things? So is bad things limited to a group of people? So can it happen to anybody? Beautiful. So when anything evil happens, the first thing that it should stick in your consciousness is the fact that what? God's compassion doesn't fail. So you might lose your mother, you might lose your father. The first thing that remains in your consciousness is what? God's compassion doesn't fail. They are new every morning. They are new every morning. So when man is destroyed, it's not because God's compassion failed, but because God's hand to a large extent must have been tied. Are we together? We started examining Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, three basic facts in Sodom and Gomorrah we've established. Number one, Sodom and Gomorrah was a geographical place on the map, right? It was a literal place. Number two, angels were sent with a message to Sodom and Gomorrah. Are we together? Yeah, some people received, right? Some people were destroyed. Now, number three fact we said, Sodom and Gomorrah was not destroyed because of homosexuality. Remember that? Did we prove that in scripture? Yeah. Were they homosexuals in Sodom and Gomorrah? Was that why they were destroyed? No. Were there people who practiced incense in Sodom and Gomorrah, even after escape? Abby? Yeah? Lost children decided to make him drunk and slept with him. So that they will give birth to children for him. Are we together? Yeah. So, what destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah is the fact that they did not hearken to the message of salvation and leave the city. So, look at this. So, somebody might have practiced homosexuality 2 hours before the destruction started. And if he left Sodom, the destruction of Sodom will not pursue him. Did you get that? So, why were they destroyed? They were destroyed because they rejected the messages on the lips of the messengers. And what? Destruction caught up with them. Let me show you a very quick example. Look at Ezekiel 18, quickly. Let me show you something, Ezekiel 18. Are you in Ezekiel? Look at Ezekiel 18. Ezekiel is just after Lamentations, right? Ezekiel 18, 32. It's of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed. Look at Ezekiel 18, verse 32.
Let's read verse 32 together if you have your Bibles. 1, 2, 3, go.
For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, says the Lord God. Wherefore, turn yourself and live.
So does God have pleasure in the death of people? So, when God sees man dying, for instance, let's say eternal death, what is God's solution to the man's death? An instruction to repent. He says what? Wherefore, turn yourselves and ye shall... Are we here? Look at it again. For I have no pleasure in the death of him that died, says the Lord God. Wherefore, turn yourselves and ye shall live. Look at chapter 33, Ezekiel 33. Verse 10. I want to show something quickly this morning before we call it an evening. Sorry, we're in the morning.
Praise God. Ezekiel 33, verse 10. Now, look at Ezekiel 33, verse 8. Please follow what I'm about to read. Okay? Are we here? Please follow, right? When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. If thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, the wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require a die. So when it says require a die, what does that really mean? You have an instruction, or you have the assignment to preach the message to the wicked man to turn from his ways. Altogether, but you have chosen not to do that. Now look at verse 9. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked man of his ways to turn from it, and if he does not turn away from it, he shall what? Die in iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. So is the blood of that one who is wicked that dies in your hand again? Why? Because you've done what you're supposed to do. Now look at verse 10. Therefore, O thou son of man, speak unto the house of what? Israel, thus ye speak, saying, if our transgressions and our sins be upon us, and we pine away in them, how should we then live? Let's read verse 11 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Say unto them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turns from his way and live. So turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? So what is God's call for the life of Israel, for instance, that they turn from their wicked ways and what? Receive salvation. What is God's call to every man who is not a believer today? Turn from your evil heart of unbelief and receive what? Salvation. So look at it this way. So in the real sense, we have an assignment to preach the gospel. Matthew 18, Matthew 28, Mark 16. Go into the world and what? Preach the gospel. He that believes is what? Saved. He that believes that he is baptized is saved. Are we together? And he that believeth not is what? Condemned. Are we together? Go into the world and preach and teach all nations, baptizing them in the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Right? Teaching them to all things I have commanded thee. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of time. So, a man who receives the message of salvation is saved from destruction. Are we together? John 3:16. For God so loved the world. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. For God so loved the world that he gave only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. So a man who doesn't believe, what happens? He has everlasting damnation. Are we together? Romans 15 now tells you, Paul tells you, say, those things that were written aforetime, Romans 15, 14, they were written ahead for our what? Learning. That we might learn. That we might learn. So let me ask you a question. When Paul tells you in Romans 13, things written aforetime were written for your learning, what was he writing? What books was he talking about? Genesis to what? Malachi. What did Paul tell you in 2 Timothy you should learn from Genesis to Malachi? Salvation through faith. So what will now be those things written that you should find that were written aforetime for your learning? Salvation through faith. Let me say it again. Genesis to Malachi were written for your learning. What should you learn from those writings? How God always looks forward to save. So can you see, we read Lamentations, God's compassion fails not. We read Ezekiel, God doesn't derive pleasure in the death of the what? Wicked. God doesn't derive pleasure in the death of the wicked. Let me show you something quickly in Joshua. Look at Joshua. Joshua, Joshua, Joshua. Joshua is the book after Deuteronomy. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Joshua 2 verse 1. Are we here? Look at Joshua 2 verse 1. If we're here, say aha. If you're not here, say oho. Alright, so we're all there. Joshua 2 verse 1. 1, 2, 3, go. And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men of spies secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into an harlot house named Rahab and lodged there. Was Rahab a harlot? Who is a harlot? Eh? A harlot is somebody who is known for what? Prostitution. Yeah? Or we can say it in a more economical way. A harlot is someone who sells her body in exchange for what? Things valuable. Don't just say money. Because some do it for iPhone 13. You share money last. Yeah? But something what? Valuable. So Joshua sent a people to Jericho to spy.
And whose house did they come into? Rahab's house. Please, read what I want to show you right now. Was Rahab a prostitute? Was she known for prostitution? Look at verse 2. 1, 2, 3, go. And it was told to the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men in Ether tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. Verse 3, and the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thy house, for they be come to search out all the country. Look at verse 4, check your Bibles. And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said thus, there came men unto me, but I wish not where they were. Did Rahab lie? Is Rahab a prostitute? Okay. Verse 5. And it came to pass after that time of the shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I would not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall what? Overtake them. Now look at verse 9. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord had given you the land, and that your terror is falling upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of what? You. Let's read verse 10 together. 1, 2, 3, go. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and when ye did unto the king, to two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Shihon and Og, whom ye utterly what? Verse 11, 1, 2, 3, go. And as soon as we have heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord God, he is the God in heaven above and the earth, what? Verse 12, 1, 2, 3, go. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show me kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token. Who is asking for kindness there? Rahab, beautiful. Look at verse 13. 1, 2, 3, go. And that ye will save alive my father, my mother, my brethren, my sisters, and all the day that delivered our lives from death. Verse 14. 1, 2, 3, go. Answer her, our life for yours, if you utter not this our business, and it shall be when the Lord hath given us this land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Verse 15, then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the tower wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. So you can keep reading down and you realize something. So now, Joshua sent two spies. What do you think he was sending them to go and do? To go and destroy? No, okay, let me ask this way. Prior to, or what would be the effect of going to spy the land? Beautiful. So they were sent to go and survey to see if the city was going to be or is conquerable. Are we together? In getting to the city, a prostitute houses them, and the prostitute now lies. What do you suppose those two men? Do you suppose those two men that entered the house of Rahab had a message for Rahab? Do you suppose they had a message for Rahab? Think about it now. Why do you suppose Rahab is saying, I've done kindness, you do kindness to me? It is because, most likely, on the lips of the messengers, they've heard a message of destruction that is coming. So what does Rahab say? Save me, my brothers, my father, my family, yeah, from that what? Destruction. So what do you suppose saved Rahab the prostitutes? Lack of prostitution or faith in the message of the messengers? Did you get that? Let's read something again. Look at Joshua, the same Joshua. Look at chapter 6. Let's read chapter 6 quickly. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none what? Came in. Verse 2. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thy hands Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of what? Valor. Verse 3. And ye shall compass the city, all your men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. Please listen attentively, okay? Verse 4, and 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns, and the 7th day ye shall what? Compass the city 7 times, and the priest shall blow with a what? Trumpet. Look at verse 5, and it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with a ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a what? And the wall of the city shall what? fall flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. Look at your Bibles, please. Look at your Bibles. Look at verse 6. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priest and said unto them, take up the ark of the covenant, and let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ransom before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, pass on and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. Verse 8. And it came to pass, right, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ransom passed on before the Lord, and blew in trumpet, and the ark of the covenant, and followed them. Verse 9. And the armed men went before the priest and blew with the trumpets, and reward came after the ark, and the priest going on and blowing with trumpets. Now look at verse 10. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, ye shall not what? Shout, nor make any noise with your voice. What did he say again? Neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout. Then the wall of Jericho, the wall of Jericho fell down, while the children of God were praising the Lord. The Lord of Jericho fell. Oga drummer, the wall of Jericho. Did the wall of Jericho fall down when they were praising the Lord? Is it not your Bible? Did the wall of Jericho fall down when they were praising the Lord? What did Joshua instruct them? Don't make any noise. Don't say any word. So they shouted at the end. Not while they were praising the Lord, the wall now fell. You know, praise is the weapon in which you approach any mighty wall before you. Abi? All together. People of God, when any wall is in front of you, please pray. Don't go and do worship night. Don't go and worship through. Eh? What is the greatest wall that we see in the hearts of men? It is the wall of unbelief. We don't thank God because of the wall. We don't sing regarding the wall. What do? We what? We pray. Say pray. Say prayer is our weapon. Are we together? Eh? You see, for every time you say singing and giving thanks and in spiritual, it is something that comes with the prayer. Are we together? Yeah? You know, praise is a key by which we access the level of the God kind. Okay. Can you point one scripture that you see Paul was praising? Do you think they spoke about praising? I mean, Jesus, it's easy for you to go to rejoice, right? Look. Yeah, and that moment Jesus rejoiced. Yeah, Jesus and him, I haven't seen the book of life. Yeah, it's easy for you to see, let your request be known to God, prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving. But what we have, that's why Ephesians 6 tells you, put on the whole what? Armor of God. How do you do that? It's verse 18. Praying always with all supplication in the Spirit. Are we together? Yeah, you know, if you were a king, right? When somebody prays you and remove their cap for you, your head is swelled. That's how we approach God. So we think God is that God that when you whine him, you know the meaning of whining? Yeah? To whine is to pamper and polish, then to exalt above. But you know you cannot whine God. Let me ask you a question. Please, everyone, look at me. You know that a lot of times when you see all those people whining God, they're actually whining themselves. Let me tell you what I mean. You are not Yoruba. Somebody hold mic and say something in Yoruba that you don't understand. Your body shiver. Wait, let me give you an example. I don't know if you know the meaning of Ekweme here. Some of you know the meaning of Ekweme. I don't know if you don't know the meaning of Ekweme, but you sang it and cried. I was seeing some people crying on the lady went to American Divorce and just the Ekweme, that is the better is follow. You are, see, we have emotions. There's a way they will play Simba that if you do not come to church with the purpose to cry, you will cry. Do you understand? Just put strings and play Simba. It will enter you. You don't know what the Ekweme is. You are crying. So what actually moved you? Is it the meaning of what you said? Somebody will hold the mic and use Yoruba to why. Somebody that doesn't even know what is Ekaro in Yoruba. Hey, that's a mighty God. Like, what do you know about his mightiness that connected with what the person is saying? Are we together? So, the truth is that when it comes to the things of God, when it comes to the things of the Spirit, right, there are certain things that are paramount to our Christian faith. Every apostle in their writing, right, when you see their writing, when you see their conversation, when you see Jesus, majority, right, will speak about prayer. Prayer. And prayer for, none of them prayed for things. Are we together? You cannot quote Paul praying for material things, not once. You cannot quote Peter praying for material things, not once. You cannot quote Jesus praying for material things, not once. But they had a solid prayer life. Are we together? We did all of this to just show what happened in Joshua's story, right? In Rahab's story. So, now, see something in that same Joshua 6. Look at Joshua 6, verse 22. Are we there? Are we there? Let's read verse 22. 1, 2, 3, go. But Joshua had said unto the two men, God's palace. What's happening? Are we hungry? Are we hungry? Hello? Are we in church this morning? What's happening now? Let's read verse 22 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Who is the woman? What saved Rahab? Believing the message by believing the messengers. Or let me say it this way. Believing the message by welcoming the messengers. What happened to Sodom and Gomorrah? They rejected the message by rejecting the messenger. Did you see that? What happened to Rahab? Rahab, in receiving the messengers, received them with their message. What happened to Sodom and Gomorrah? Sodom and Gomorrah, in rejecting the messenger, they what? Rejected the message on the lips of the what? Messenger. Look at verse 23. 1, 2, 3, go. And the young men that were spies went in, brought out what? Rahab, and her father, and her mother, and her brethren, and all that she had, and they brought out all her kindred, and left them without the camp of Israel. And they what? Burned the city with fire, and all that was therein, only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and of iron of the house of the Lord. Verse 25, 1, 2, 3, go. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot. Hold on. Did Rahab need to change her profession before she was saved? What saves a man on earth? Is it changing your lifestyle or changing your heart? How do you change your heart? By believing the message. Are we together? Do you think Rahab could have continued being a harlot even after she was saved from this destruction? Does that undo the change, or does that undo the safety or the salvation she had received before the destruction of Jericho? Same thing with the faith in the gospel. In believing the gospel, you are delivered perpetually. So it is when we pay attention to that which you've been delivered from and that which you've been delivered to that your conduct now changes. Are we together? So that's why when you go out to preach, it's wrong practice to hear a believer saying with microphone, change your ways, oh, Jesus is coming soon. Are we together? Because a man can change his ways, not change his heart, and he's still in the same position. Are we together? Let me ask you a question. If Rahab had not decided to receive the message and the messengers and left the city, but yet she changed the act of prostitution, will she be saved? Listen to this again. If Rahab had decided not to listen to the messengers, right? And in not listening to the messengers, she changed her course. She said, today I'm not doing prostitution again. Will she escape that destruction? If Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah had decided to, now, okay, you can backtrack and explain a few things about Lot. Okay, How do we explain this? Do you suppose that it was just at the time when those children of Lot started to sleep with Lot that the mindset of them being able to sleep with their father made sense to them? Let me ask you. You see, there's some things, Sister Rose. Now, let me give you an instance. For instance, there are some things that your mind is already saying no to. For instance, that you can never find yourself doing. Do you want to give us an example?
Not forgive.
There are two churches. And you want to help her? Something you know that you can never find yourself doing. You don't enter power yet now. You don't enter power yet. Oh, glory to God. See, that's true. What is that true about it? Yeah? Okay, let me give you an instance. I can never see myself sleeping with my sister. Do you understand? If the world comes to an end, and we're the only people left on it, and I want my lineage to continue, I cannot. But for the world to come to an end, and it makes sense for you to sleep with her, it means that when the world was not an end, it made sense somewhere in my mind. Did you get that? So I'm trying to show you something, that the mindset of lost children did not change overnight because of the destruction. Do you understand? It's possible they were admiring their father from time. Do you understand? So let's now assume, if they remained in Sodom, right, and they changed their mindset, as seeing sleeping with your father as evil, would that change the fact that they will be destroyed if they remain in Sodom? If they remain in Sodom and they change their mind or their mindset, would they still be destroyed in Sodom? You see, they didn't need to change their mindset. They went out of Sodom. They were saved. Then the mindset what? Manifested. How together? Take it back to Rahab. Who was Rahab? Rahab was one who was known for what? Prostitution. The city of Jericho was to be what? Destroyed. What we save people from destruction is a prior information or a message that says that a destruction is what? Coming. If Rahab had heard those messengers and rejected their message and stayed in that city, yet stopped being a prostitute, will she be saved? She wouldn't, right? So what saves a man is faith in the what? Message. So why is it written in the Bible? To show you examples, types of faith, or how faith is exhibited in the actions of men. Are we together? Are we here? I'll close it. Look at Genesis 18. Genesis 18, verse 20. Are we there? Genesis 18:20. Are we here? And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according as to the cry of it, which is come unto me, and if not, I will know. Look at 22. And the men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. Look at verse 23. It says, and Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Now let me ask you a question. In Sodom and Gomorrah, there will be two categories of people, right? The wicked and the righteous. Let me ask you this very, very sensitive question. What yardstick determines the division of these two? Believing of the message or what? Rejecting the message. Did you get that? The acts in Sodom and Gomorrah included wicked acts like homosexuality. Right? Based on that yardstick of believing the message or not, if someone who was actively involved in homosexuality leaves that city and is not delivered in the city, what category will you call him with his homosexuality? The righteous. Are we here? What category will you call those who are destroyed in Sodom? Unrighteous. Which you call wicked. So if there was one who had a very perfect conduct in Sodom and Gomorrah, but yet did not believe the message and did not leave the city, will he be destroyed? Was Rahab a righteous or a wicked person? Everyone listening, was Rahab a righteous or wicked person based on this analysis? Righteous to which degree? To the degree in which he accepts the message. Wicked in conduct. Righteous in belief. Yeah? So what you now call righteous in belief will be what? Faith in the message. That's what John 3 now tells you. So now, same thing, Moses makes you see in Genesis 18. Look how it says again in 22. Now look at Genesis chapter 3. Verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had what? Made. Right? And he said unto the woman. So the serpent said unto the woman, right? Are we here? If you like, don't be here. When I'm not, if I'm not done, my teacher, I'm not done. Look at verse 2. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. And he said unto the woman, Yea, had God said, ye shall not eat of every tree in the garden. And the woman said unto what? The serpent. Now remember, we've established snakes did not use to talk. Are we together? Yes, snakes cannot talk. Snake did not use to talk. Are we together? Right? That's Moses' way of writing. Revelations now tell you the serpent is actually the devil. Revelations 12, 9, Revelations 20, verse 2. Look at verse 8. Look at verse 8. 1, 2, 3, go. Verse 8, 1, 2, 3, go. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the evening. Yep. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the what? Presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Now, when you say they heard the voice of the Lord God walking, what is that? God's message. Altogether, God's voice doesn't walk. Yeah, that's a figure of speech for God's message. So, God's message was preached and they heard, but they hid away. Are we together? Now look at verse 9. 1, 2, 3, go. And said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was what? Afraid. Why do you suppose he was afraid? Because they tolerated the voice of the serpent, which is actually the voice of the devil. Are we together? Now, and as thou, so what, and he said unto them, who told thee that thou was what? Naked. Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee thou not shouldest eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou what? Givest to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is that that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me and I did what? Eat. Now look at verse 14. And the Lord said to the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou hast cursed above all the castles and above all the beasts of the earth and everything. That's Moses' way of writing. Verse 15. Let's read verse 15 together. 1, 2, 3, go. And I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and it shall bruise the heel. Whose seed is that? Seed is Christ, right? Galatians 3. Verse 16. Unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception, and sorrow bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and to rule over thee. And unto Adam, he said, because thou art hearkened to the voice of the wife, thou hast eaten of the tree of thy commanded thee, thou shalt not eat, or the cost is the ground for thy sake. You know, and he now keeps writing all of that. Then look at verse 23. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims. Are we together? So what was happening in Genesis? God presents a message to Adam. Adam hears the message and rejects it. So that is what you will see Moses. We've taught that severally. As Adam was being driven out of the Garden of Eden. So did God drive Adam out of the Garden of Eden? Did God drive Adam out of the Garden of Eden? Or Adam rejected the message? Lively. So when Moses says God drove Adam out of the garden, is equal to what Moses wrote about Cain. God drove Cain out of the what? The face of the earth. What does that really mean? He rejected and he was without the life of God. Are we together? So you see the consistency, Adam? Consistency, Noah's time. Genesis 6, right? Noah preached the message for how many years? 120 years. And people did not still believe the saving of the ark. Are we together? And they were what? Destroyed by the flood. Praise God. Same thing with what? Sodom, Gomorrah, which you pay attention more to in days to come. And also the same thing with what? Rahab.